He's risen. He's risen. Hallelujah. We're here this morning to celebrate the risen Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you excited? I'm excited. But before we dive into that, I want to take a moment and I want to look back. I want to look back at the cross. And we're going to read John 19, 28 through 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. I want us to look back so that we can witness in reading and hearing as we celebrate the greatest transition in all of human history. A transition that marks movement from death to life. And at the center of this transition, our Lord and Savior declared on the cross, "It is finished." The Greek word there used twice in this passage is tetelestai, translated, "It is finished," or in verse 28, "finished." It comes from the root word teleo, and that word means to reach a goal or to accomplish or to fulfill. But the difference between teleo and tetelestai, if I can say it, is that tetelestai is in the perfect tense. And what does that mean? It indicates that an action brought to completion has lasting effects. So an action that's brought to completion that has lasting effects. Jesus wasn't saying it is over. It could be easy as you read the text and you think about what Jesus is going through to think of this broken man wrestling for breath, body coming to its end, and he's like, "Oh, done." But when Jesus says it is finished, it's a declaration of victory. It's a declaration that it has been accomplished once and for all, and its effects remain. So what was it that he accomplished? Everything the Father had entrusted him, he obeyed, he completed perfectly. Perfect obedience. It was a fulfillment of Scripture. Think about this. Thousands, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, many prophetic voices, utterance of the Holy Spirit through these voices, and he finished, he completed every one. It's not a coincidence. No person could do that. It shows the consistency of the will of God. What God seeks to accomplish, to finish, he will finish. And he will finish it exactly how he plans. Jesus defeated sin and death. Commonly, tetelestai, this word, would have been used in commerce, like Greek trade, and it would be used when you had a debt and it had been completely fulfilled, satisfied. Jesus satisfied a debt, your debt, my debt. He established the perfect covering so that your debt, your chains, your wounds in him, you're liberated. You're free. Paul said it's for freedom's sake that Christ has set you free. And he satisfied it on the cross so that you could be free. And we're going to dive into what that entails in a minute. He established a new covenant, eternal life, fulfilling what we read in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus accomplished that. So we have all these accomplishments, fulfillments, satisfactions on the cross. But Aaron, you said this was the greatest transition. But what I see is the redemption mission is finished. And you'd be right. But think about it. Every finish line really marks a transition into something new. Whether it's birth, we got to celebrate birth just this last week. Pete and Rebecca had their baby and they're caring for it. Hallelujah. You can clap to that. But the delivery wasn't the end. There's going to be a lot less sleep. And from birth, you have childhood. In a few weeks, we're going to do our first Alpha Youth Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory be. And our youth is going to do the whole service, even preach the word. What a blessing. Yes. Under Glenn's care and fostering, we have youth who are going to teach and encourage and build up. Glory be to God. But it's a transition from childhood to youth. And there's a transition from youth to college. Just last week, we had College Sunday. Yeah? All right. And our college students encouraged us. And soon, some of them will be transitioning into a new season where they get jobs. And then you do that for a long time. And pay loans, there you go. And then they transition into retirement. But your body starts to give. And it brings you to your final transition, death. It's certain. I want you to just take a moment. Some of you don't have a relationship with God, and I'm pleading with you that this is the best news you're going to hear. But for those of us who do, I need you to just for a moment, remove all of that identity, all that security, all that, that lens of redemptive history and what it entails in how we see our future. And then imagine these transitions. I think of Edgar Allan Poe, his Raven, Nevermore, Nevermore, Nevermore. Every missed opportunity, nevermore. Childhood, nevermore. That energy and vitality of youth, you're not getting it back. It's gone. It's dead. Every transition outside the lens of God in Christ Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross is a death. It's a loss. It's gone forever. But Jesus rose. Jesus rose from the dead and made every transition for all who would believe in him from victory to victory, even death. A few months ago, I had the blessing of walking with my mom through transition from death to life. If you were looking from the outside through a lens that didn't include the resurrected Christ, you would look and you would see cancer. Cancer robbed her mobility. It robbed her ability to ride horses, one of the things she deeply enjoyed, to move around and take care of things like gardening and her dogs. Through that lens we just looked through, it's death, 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 death. It's despair. There's nothing. Hopeless. I had the honor of being in the hospital when my mom was admitted to her final few weeks of her journey. I was sitting by her bed. It was just me. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know it was the last few weeks. We had no idea. Based on what doctors had told us, there was lots of time to come. But as I was sitting by her bedside, I felt a prompting to hold her hand. So I reached out and I took my mother's hand and I bowed my head and I begged and I pleaded for deliverance. And that deliverance could have come in a number of ways, and I was perfectly comfortable with that. It could have been deliverance from the cancer that was destroying her body, and I would have welcomed that with joy. But I also knew it could be deliverance to new and resurrected life. And that, to me, also comes with joy. Nonetheless, I'm bent, and I'm praying, and I'm weeping over my mom's hand, as I know her time is limited. But my mom had stronger faith than I do. And as I leaned over her hand and prayed for her, she reached her hand out and set it on my head and prayed for me. That is resurrected life. That is new life in Christ Jesus that my mom, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the greatest comforter that will ever exist, reached out to her begging son and comforted him. The certain suffering of this world in light of Christ can be received with hope of glory. Resurrection and life rather than loss and death. Every transition goes from victory to victory. Hope, which brings joy, which allows us to walk with an integrity that we cannot have any other way. So friends, if you do not believe in the resurrected Jesus, at the very least, you should wish you did. I'm going to invite up the musicians. We mentioned redemption's mission is complete. Praise be to God. We are free and free indeed. But our mission as Christians, as Christ followers, as light through the power of the Spirit in dark places, as hope and love to a hopeless and loveless world, our mission just began. And continues. And next week, we get to celebrate a transition, an outward expression of I belong to Jesus, a declaration of allegiance to him and walking in newness of life, marked by trust in his promises and cooperation with his Spirit to bring the light and love of God to a world that desperately needs it. Joining a family that lives for difference, not to pacify some hurt feelings, although that may be a delightful outcome, but to bring the glory of Christ to a world that so desperately needs it so that each and every person can live in the freedom that it offers. Amen? Amen. That's something worth being excited about. Participating in the redemptive and restorative work of the Holy Spirit as people's hearts and minds are transformed and renewed. Whew, that's glory. We have a really beautiful privilege to have our children come and sing us a song about love. And as I mentioned, we get to participate in bringing God's love to the world. And so they're going to come and sing with us. Or sing for us. Come on up, kids. My prayer for us is that if you do not believe in the resurrected Christ and resurrected Jesus, my prayer is that you would consider wishing you did, that you would open your heart and mind to pray that you would. And I pray that for you because that is life in its fullness, both here and for eternity. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. And so in him are we.